It's just on 2 o'clock on day 10, Wednesday the 5th of August, 2 o'clock in the afternoon that is. I've been on the road for since 2:30 a.m. Currently heading almost due west on a road called the Savannah Way. Just passing on my left the Undara Lava Tubes National Park, where there's some extinct volcanic craters and evidence of past lava flows. Lots of broodingly dark browny black rocks amongst this sort of straw coloured grassy scrub, and some scraggly sort of trees, different sort of muted colour contrasts. Every now and then I can see a little rocky outcrop with those dark brown, almost black rocks, and I can't see from the road, but they could well be vents from a volcano or collapsed lava tubes or whatever. I slept last night at a motel in Atherton. I got there about 7 o'clock in the evening. It was a tough day. It was the last 20 or 30k or 35k from Mareeba up to Atherton was almost entirely uphill against a sort of moderate breeze, so that you never got a rest the whole way. I was very tired. It was a long day, and I'm just pausing here as a vehicle comes the other way. The road here is only wide enough for one vehicle, so generally the rule is that if you get two cars going either way, then they each put their left-hand wheels in the dirt as they go past. If a truck comes, then the cars get right off and leave the entire sealed surface to the trucks. Not sure what the rule is for cyclists, but at the moment I'm just holding my ground on the extreme left-hand edge of the sealed road and not going onto the dirt at the side, which is quite bumpy and rocky. And generally people are getting over and just putting their two left wheels in the dirt. Anyway, going back to Atherton, it's quite a high town, reasonable size provincial town. And the motel, which I had called and booked ahead, unfortunately wasn't anywhere near the centre of town. It was actually on the way out on a road that I didn't want to go on. I couldn't be bothered calling around to try and find one in the right place when I made the booking, and so I just had to go there. There were no shops nearby, so I didn't have a chance to buy any food for this morning or any snacks for last night, but there was a Chinese restaurant next door, so in the end probably could have gone without a meal, I decided I'd better eat one since I wasn't going to get one first thing in this morning. So I ordered a takeout meal by phone, had my shower, and then went and collected it and ate it. Did a few chores. Well, that meant I didn't get to bed until about 9:30. Somewhat unusually, I went to bed without packing everything up. I was just too tired. So when I got up, I had to do that this morning. That meant I was a little bit longer getting away. So I got away at 2:30 with a 311-kilometre day in prospect to Georgetown. And I was hoping, I still had about 50 kilometres of the Atherton tableland to go. My memory wasn't that accurate. I knew I had some climbs, but I couldn't remember how many. Anyway, as it turned out, it was a very tough 55 kilometres to Ravenshoe, which is the highest town in Queensland. And from there I began the descent, but in the meantime it took me probably 3.5 hours to do that 54 kilometres, and that's pretty slow going. They're just, the hills were just relentless, and every now and then you'd descend to a river, and then you'd have to go steeply up the other side. I was also very tired. On the plus side though, there was a fabulous full moon. There was almost no traffic. I think for the first 2 hours I didn't see any other vehicles. Then I saw a couple. And so the full moon meant that you almost bright as day full moon. So I could see a lot of the scenery and had the road to myself. Scenery was mainly pasture lands, orchards, and then in the valleys that you cross, dense tropical rainforest that you could just feel. You often would go into a tunnel of rainforest hidden from the moonlight, and then you'd emerge on the other side as you climbed back up from the river. So very nice scenery to offset the fatigue. As I got closer to Ravenshoe, I forgot to say, I didn't have much to eat when I left, but only about 5 kilometres outside of Atherton, I came across this roadhouse, brilliantly lit, quite modern, by the road, open. Manager or employee and security guy just having a chat. Pretty surprised to see me walk in at about 3 a.m. off my bike. And I just picked up a coffee, milk and a muffin to have a little bit later, supplement the rather spare supplies that I'm carrying at the moment. I seem to have gradually eaten my way through everything. Anyway, going back to the trip, as I approached Ravenshoe, it got incredibly cold all of a sudden too. It wasn't that cold starting yet, I only had a jacket on. So I had to stop and put on a mid layer and put the hood up on my jacket. I could also feel myself starting to bonk on some of the hills, so I stopped a bit earlier and had something to eat and drink. I had intended to get to Ravenshoe before I stopped. And then as I got even closer to Ravenshoe, I was gotten to the point where I was starting to doze off on the bike. I stopped. I was going to have something to eat, but I just felt so overwhelmingly tired that I just pushed the bike down a slope, about a grassy sort of dew-covered slope. It's quite misty, still very dark, although the glimmer of a dawn starting to appear. Lay the bike down on its side, got my ground sheet off, and despite the fact that the temperature was probably about 4 or 5 degrees centigrade, couldn't be bothered getting any long pants out. Just lay down in my cycling next. Figured that if I was going to have 15 minutes, I wouldn't nap time. I wouldn't die of hypothermia in that space. So I just lay down and went to sleep. Seemed like, and set my alarm for 15 minutes later. However, only about 10 minutes later, I was woken by a car which pulled up and did a U-turn and came back and yelled out to see what I was all right. I thought I was far enough off the road that they couldn't see me, but I got so much reflective tape on my gear and clothes that they probably were illuminated by the headlights of that car as it drove past. So I just yelled back to the guy, "Thanks, so I'm just having a nap." Went back for another 5 minutes. Got up at I think 6 a.m. and cycle the remaining few kilometres into Ravenshoe. Then found a bench seat in the middle of the main street. It was a little bit warmer in Ravenshoe, and ate my muffin and had my coffee milk while the town gradually opened up. The bakery across the road was obviously opening at 6:30. A small group of people had appeared waiting for the doors to open. From Raventoe, the road starts heading sort of southwest into the outback pretty much. My goal was to aim for Mount Garnet for breakfast. That was about another 55 kilometres. It's at a lower level than Raventoe, but it's not just a straight descent. The road tends to go up and down, so you lose a bit and then you gain a bit. So even though my speed was improving, it still wasn't all that fast because the hills were steep. So it wasn't unusual to be chugging uphill at about 12 kilometres an hour for a kilometre before going for a run down the other side. At Mount Garnet I went to the roadhouse where I've been on a number of occasions before on other bike trips, and ordered a big breakfast and got a litre of orange juice which I polished off, and a large black coffee to keep me awake for the remainder or the next section. It was probably 9:45 before I left Mount Garnet, and I was starting to realise then that I was going to be on the road quite late if I was going to Georgetown. However, it's quite important that I do get to Georgetown because I'm approaching a section where on my two previous attempts to ride around Australia, both times I couldn't quite make it between the towns in time and ended up losing a day. So I'm very focused on not losing a day this time. So I'm going to get to Georgetown tonight. After Mount Garnet, I resolved that I would only have one break between there and Mount Surprise, which is about 125 kilometres. I'm now only about 20 kilometres from Mount Surprise. And then only one break between there and Georgetown, which is about another 92 kilometres. I've called and booked a motel at Georgetown that I stayed at once before. It's quite a nice place. Unfortunately, this time I won't have much time to enjoy it because I don't think I'm going to get there much before 8 o'clock. I probably won't get to Georgetown in time to buy anything for tomorrow to see me through to the next town. So when I get into Mount Surprise up ahead, I will have to buy enough to see me through to Croydon, which is 150 kilometres the other side of Georgetown, tomorrow. I also, while I was at the roadhouse at Mount Garnet, having my breakfast, called and booked motels in Cloncurry and Camelwheel over the weekend. Cloncurry Friday night and Camelwheel Saturday night. There's not much accommodation in those places. And also I felt like, having made the commitment by making the bookings, I'll be that much more determined to set myself up to get there tomorrow night. I think I will sleep on the road because there's a very long section that's often against the wind, 390 kilometres I think. If I stayed at Normanton, which is the original plan, and then tried to do that in one day, 390 kilometres against the wind, because it's predominantly a southerly this time of the year around here, or southeasterly, is a bit much to ask when I'm already too tired. So I'll try and use up, do some of that 390 kilometres tomorrow, and then sleep on the road somewhere and do the balance on Friday and get to the motel at a reasonable hour. And one reason for doing that is that from Cloncurry it's 120 kilometres to Mount Isa, and at Mount Isa I've lined up the bike shop to give me a service, change a tyre, which for a new one, which Sharon has sent to the bike shop, and that will give me the chance, and so I'll go back to having marathon pluses on the back and the front, and keep the one that's currently on the front as a spare, so I'll have two spares from now on. A bit of extra weight, but what the heck, I feel safer with the tyres. It's the Mount Isa Rodeo this weekend. I've been listening on the radio. It's starts today, so there'd be no way of getting any accommodation in Mount Isa over the weekend, so probably just as well that I'm going to cruise in there, hopefully on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, get the bike done in an hour, and then head out at 10 o'clock for Camelwheel, which is about another 190 kilometres, and get there at a reasonable hour. That's the plan anyway. I'm now in road train territory. I only seen a few so far, but they rule the roads here. If a road train comes either from the other direction or from behind, my rule is to get off the road if there's any doubt about there being enough room. Quite a lot of tourists around over here. Up this way, there are sort of parking areas set aside in a few places for with grey nomads, people with caravans and camper vans are allowed to stay. Not sort of formal camping areas because there's no administration, and often there's not even a toilet block. Anyway, I passed a big one of those on the way to Mount Garnet, and it was full. There are a lot of people there camping, and I've noticed that at a few others. So the global financial crisis doesn't seem to be hitting the grey nomad market too much. Maybe it's increasing it. There's more people staying or towing caravans and staying in motels and hotels these days. There's also quite a lot on the road, but so far no problems with them. It's a bright sunny day. The run from Mount Garnet, where I had breakfast, down to near Undara, Lavitudes National Park, was tougher than I remembered. A lot more climbing. Again, sort of overall, it's a descent, but you keep going down and up and down and up, and the ups were slow. It was made a lot worse by the fact that there is a southeasterly blowing today, so it was predominantly in my face. And I was a bit worried about the progress I was making. I reached a junction about an hour ago and moved from a sort of southerly direction of travel to a westerly direction of travel. And I immediately noticed the difference with the wind. It's a lot easier to cruise along in the sort of mid 20 kilometres an hour going this way. Going the other way, it was just hard work the whole time. So I may make up a little bit of time by the time I get to Georgetown, but it's unlikely to be much before 8 o'clock. That's it for now. I'll put in another report just before I stop tonight.